Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Football Experience Big 12 season preview on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time and chill and grab the perfect cold refreshment. Coors Light. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
Yes, yes, yes. Woo! Welcome. Welcome to the College Experience Big 12 College Football Season Preview. My name is Colby Swinging Dantabase Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick. Woo! And I'm joined by my co-host, former JMU Duke defensive back. Give it up for the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh! Well,
buddy, I'm supposed to cue you some fucking music. Let's just get to that. Let me just cue you.
Get my blood rocking and oh my gosh. I don't know if we can play this music for the Big 12. We should be playing like a symphony, something much less defensive.
It's changing though, man. We've seen this.
That's true.
Yeah, it's changing some.
Getting a little defense in there. I wouldn't say that that's necessarily the strong
point. I would actually make the case that the SEC is now the old Big 12.
Okay. I would say they're about equal in my mind. You know, I mean, I would still actually say the SEC is a more defensive conference just because they have so much history that it's hard to forget.
Ole Miss was number one
offense
and
dead last defense.
And by the way, Heupel added to the mix. Leach.
Oh, they're definitely going
Heupel,
in that direction.
Leach, whatever that LSU offense was, they were in shootouts every week. Missouri was in shootouts.
Yeah.
The only team hanging on to, there's two teams hanging on to the SEC identity. Georgia Bulldogs and the Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky throwing for 120 yards a game. Right? So you better praise them. Kendall Briles now at Arkansas. Dude, there's the days of
the ground and pound.
The days of real football are done. All right.
Meanwhile, in the Big 12, we got Matt Wells coming into Texas Tech, what had traditionally been an absolute.
He's going to get fired this year, I think.
Run and shoot fest for what? How many years? 20 years?
Since 20 years. I would say 20 years since 2000 when Leach came in.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it was Leach and then Kingsbury. So yeah. And
they're starting to play some defense, and the folks in
trying to. Yeah, they don't like it. And then you have, they didn't like the hire from the start, but then you know, Leopold now at Kansas, Kleiman at K-State, those are run heavy teams.
Yeah.
Right. Now you still have Lincoln Riley, who is a Leach disciple.
He's air raid.
Gundy throws the thing all over the fucking field.
Who did Randa bring in as the OC over there?
Randa had Fedora, but he got fired.
Okay.
So I don't know who the new, I forget who the new OC is at Baylor. But a Randa defensive minded coach, once again, back ties to Mike Leach though. so wouldn't surprise me if they end up throwing the laser around. But you look, Gary Patterson, I guess he kind of throws it some, but Max Duggan runs a lot. You got a 5-star running back. Maybe they're going to be a more run heavy team.
Well, they're not. They're
Iowa
not.
State runs.
Yeah.
They're not.
They're balanced.
Yeah. They're
I would
very
say
balanced.
TCU and Iowa State both strike me as balanced attacks.
Then who else are we forgetting here? West Virginia, Neil Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of
good
a
defense.
Ground and pound guy.
It's easy, Patty. See, it's, I don't know about you, but it's easy to see a tide turn.
It's easy to see a tide turn.
It is. Now, Jeff Grimes is Baylor's offensive coordinator coming from Auburn.
Load up the gimmicks. Load up the gimmicks.
Check that. Check that. He, for some reason, I see him in an Auburn shirt here. It looks like he was coming from BYU.
Oh.
So.
They were a physical football team.
Yeah. I mean,
they passed some, but
maybe
I'm saying they
Baylor's
going to
start pounding
team.
The rock here.
Look, before I dive into this Big 12 episode, we're going to go
back in 2012. So been a while.
Oh, so there was no gimmicks probably back then. But hold on, before we dive into these, we're going to go team by team in the Big 12, talk about expectations and what do we think. But before I do, we got news.
What do we got?
We got some college football scheduling news to break. I mean. Opening, well, we have week zero where we will be in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl for Hawaii UCLA. But early that morning, we have Nebraska, Illinois, and like five or six other games, including FCS. But week one, Patty C, they move the Boise State UCF game to Thursday.
That was a Saturday game previously.
And I think this is just, and they moved the bunch for Friday. Now I just got hit. So Wednesday we have Jacksonville State UAB, fun little solo game. Thursday now, Boise State at UCF.
Okay, that's a beautiful one.
Ohio State. Look, we already know Ohio State Minnesota was there. So now this is the slate. Essentially,
I think Ohio State Minnesota has upset potential.
Yeah, I think it's a great spot to catch them.
Yep.
East Carolina, App State, and Charlotte, Jerry Richardson Stadium, if they still call it that, right? Temple Rutgers gets moved to Thursday.
I love that.
I love it too.
Yeah.
I love it too. So
I feel like those programs are actually probably right on each other's level. And if, since both of them are lacking a rival, it makes sense for them, you know, Philly and Jersey, they should be fighting each other.
Other Thursday game, South Florida, Jeff Scott year two in Tampa heads to NC State. Could that be dangerous? No,
not really. No.
How about this one though? I mean, look, a lot of these weren't moved, but some of these were moved. Eastern Washington at UNLV Thursday night. I'm going to call for an upset
there.
FCS special upset.
Boom.
Eric Barriere coming into the Death Star. They're going to get the dub. They're going to get the
UNLV's
dub.
First, did game they play the last Death Star? Year?
No, they did. I think at the Death Star. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this though? On the FCS ranks, you got our guy Stone Labanowitz, Southern Illinois at Southeast Missouri, top 25 FCS matchup Thursday night, Patty C.
Boom.
Then you have reigning national champions Sam Houston State at Northern Arizona.
They'll probably kill him, but
I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
Northern Arizona was solid last year.
The Lums, the Lumbies.
And then, I mean, they moved Bowling Green, Tennessee to Thursday. That's going to be a shit fest.
Yeah.
Tennessee will destroy them.
Yeah, definitely. You don't have to rattle off every game on the schedule.
I'm just saying they move these things. Yeah. Coastal Carolina, the Citadel at Coastal Carolina is now Thursday. That's somewhat fun because you got triple option against Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, I guess the Thursday games I really want to hit on was Boise State, UCF.
Yeah.
So now at the studio, I can already envision the TV, ECU App State on the main, Boise State UCF on the next, Ohio State Minnesota kicks off later, and then Temple Rutgers on the third. And then I got the, you know, the quad box going with, I could throw Stone Labanowitz against Southeast Missouri and Sam Houston State.
You're not
going
to miss a minute.
Oh, I fucking can't wait, bro. UC Davis, you said Dan Hawkins, goal was Tulsa. To
watch every moment of college football for the entire season.
I'm watching every game. All right. Then look, Friday, which we knew we had, it was looking kind of weak earlier in, like when we did our season preview or whatever of week by week. We didn't know that we'd have North Carolina, Virginia Tech on Friday. That came like a week after, but it was looking like originally we were looking at Old Dominion, Wake Forest, which is kind of fun. St. Francis, Eastern Michigan, and Northern Colorado, Colorado, Ed McCaffrey making his coaching debut with the Bears against Boulder. But that's pretty shitty, right? Yeah.
Not a spectacular slate.
Now they've added in, so North Carolina at Virginia Tech, 6 o'clock kick.
Obviously a good one.
Yeah. And Michigan State at Northwestern.
That's a very good one.
And South Dakota State at Colorado State.
There
Can
you
I
go.
Call for another FCS upset special?
There you go.
And Duke at Charlotte.
All right.
Don't sleep on my guy, Will Healy. South Dakota at Kansas. Lance Leopold making
yet another.
All of a sudden, Friday's got fucking eight games, dude. I'm loaded up. I'm ready to go. Hey,
they're doing a good job spreading it around. I see some of the coaches out there complaining about
how
much of the schedule have they have they moved around at this point? The first half of it, I'm guessing.
They moved around a bunch, but yeah, I'm still not understanding why they don't try to do more. Right? So the coaches can complain all they want. To me, if it was up to me, like to me, the FCS or some of these, like to me, if you're in the Sun Belt, if you're in the Conference USA, you should be doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday games every week.
Every time you come off a bye, you should do a Wednesday or Thursday.
A way you could structure it where every team, Conference USA is like 14 teams, right? You could structure it where that all 14 weeks or, you know, 12 of the 14 weeks, you could have a Wednesday, Thursday dud for a game or two, you know,
coming off a bye. So you basically get two long weeks at that point.
Guys, sports is being changed nonstop. The gambling world, this would be a hit. Yeah. All right. This would be a hit. You could put a perfect example would be like JMU Weber State FCS. I think week three, right?
Yeah.
Move that shit to a Thursday, put that on Fox Sports One, put that on ESPNU. It's going to get solid ratings as long as we can gamble on it.
Yeah.
But also a bunch of these other, okay, look, like week two, I have the schedule in front of me. Let me just go down the ranks here. Georgia Southern at Florida Atlantic. Both really kind of
week two we're doing.
Yeah. Here. I'm just randomly throwing out a game week two.
Okay.
Georgia Southern at Florida Atlantic, both teams, decent programs. Florida Atlantic's made a bowl, I feel like, past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern's been a solid program for like 30 years.
Yeah, that one.
Put that
one,
on no a fucking will, Wednesday.
Yeah, no one will watch that on a Saturday.
Put it on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Yeah.
Or a Friday. Really, any of them. Tuesday.
Why is the
any
MAC
fucking night?
The only conference that embraces this.
Well, the Sun Belt starts to. They've started to do this.
Yeah.
But there should still be more activity on this. There should still be a lot more activity. VMI plays at Kent State. That's an FCS at a MAC school. Put that on fucking, like, what, why, what am I missing? Penn
well,
C?
You know what? I think about it and I think about, you know, the Friday after Thanksgiving, you see coaches complain about it because you don't get that Saturday atmosphere. And if you're hosting games,
shut the fuck up.
Sometimes so Thursday night,
you put
games,
it on national TV, you're going to get
more of an atmosphere.
Yes.
Dude. Yeah. The Lane Stadium on Thursday nights was legendary because it, you know, had a national spotlight every week.
I don't get it. I don't, I honestly, and I think they need to start thinking because the TV money will bring in more, you know, people are going to find out. What did I just say? VMI against now, I know that's Virginia Military Institute, but I'm saying you can take another one on here. Let's say, Jackson State, Tennessee State, FCS week two, Eddie George against Deion Sanders. How the fuck are they not thinking outside the box? That's star talent right there. Both. Bring in a following probably of their own.
Well, they certainly are as a whole, the week one here, but you're talking about the programs themselves. Why aren't they going after it?
Yeah. I'm saying like I'm surprised the networks aren't even trying to grab that. Why? If you are ESPN on a Wednesday night in the middle of September, This is probably what, September 12th or something.
Yeah.
What are people watching? Yes, some MLB playoffs, but that you don't have that contract deal.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm saying, why, even if you're fucking TNT, there's no NBA then. Anything.
Yeah. All it has to be is give one them, really good yes. game a week on that. You should, well, we should. We should have Wednesday, Thursday, but, Friday,
but,
Saturday.
But no, it should be one as far as like what we like. But I'm saying, like, I don't understand why there's not five, because I think it's your opportunity to make your name more known.
Yeah.
It's easier to recruit when you say, hey, we've had all these games on national television.
Right. Does the NBA put all of their games on Saturday every week? I guess they can't, but you know.
No, but I just think that it's this is 2021, guys. I get the tradition, but especially if you're FCS, where, you know, you just played a spring season where you botched that opportunity, but you still saw, you know, during that Sam Houston State game, 2.3 million viewers tuned into that.
Yeah.
Think about what you can fucking make.
Absolutely.
This is gambling is legal. It's legalized in a lot of states now. It's changing over the past 5 years. It's changed drastically. So why would you not take a stab at throwing some of the best FCS games up?
It's true.
On a Wednesday, on a Thursday.
Some of these FCS schools have as big or way bigger alumni bases than the likes of like ACC schools. I mean, what is Wake Forest, like 8,000 people at Wake Forest? And I know JMU's over 20,000. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure there are FCS schools that are way bigger than JMU too.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I don't.
You're gonna get viewers if you put them on TV.
With
no competition for those eyeballs.
Liberty at Troy. That's a Saturday game. No one's going to watch that. By the way, Northern Arizona gets 30,000 people. 30,000 people enrolled at Northern Arizona.
Yeah, it's a huge school.
Take a fucking shot here. Southern Illinois, 15,000. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a lot.
Play on Wednesday. Play on Monday. I guess NFL's got
really Monday. What? I mean, Monday would probably be dumb, but even I still say with the gambling guys, with the eyes that brings. Even if you're competing against the NFL, there's college games on Thursday. Yes, NFL will win, right? But if you still get 500,000 eyes on your school, are you setting up your school to be better tomorrow than today? I truly think so. Because guess how many people are going to watch ESPN Plus or Mountain Sports to catch it?
So many schools that have come up have taken the wild card role like that, whether it be Boise, whether it be Tech, whether it be I mean, even like NC State. I don't know any school that isn't at the top tier.
ECU made it for a long. Yeah. I mean, ECU, especially, dude. In the '90s and early 2000s, I feel like there were a lot more Thursday games. Now it seems like Friday games.
Yeah,
because maybe the NFL started doing year round Thursday games.
That's true.
But I still don't give a fuck. Like, to me, it's like that's ECU made their lit. Like, that's how I feel like a lot of those years when we were ranked.
Grow. Yeah.
Is going out playing Virginia Tech on Thursdays, playing NC State, West Virginia's on Thursdays, you know, like, and we were rewarded for that. So I've seen it happen.
Yeah. 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 I don't know why that stopped. That used to be really popular. I feel like the Thursdays, but yeah, you're probably right. That's the NFL. And I don't know why
it's still dumb though, because the NFL is going to get their views.
Yeah.
Regardless. Right. I mean, when there's a college game and an NFL game on now that I do have multiple TVs, I can throw them all up, but I'm saying I would always watch college over NFL.
Yeah.
So there are people out there like me.
Yeah.
So, and to me, if you put that ECU game on a Saturday, this is before they're in the AAC. This is back when ECU was either independent or in the Conference USA, they would probably get like 50,000 people watching that. Right.
Yeah.
But if you put it up on a Thursday, even competing against the NFL, I think your numbers go to like 500,000, 800,000.
Yeah.
I was looking at the MAC on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Now, they weren't competing against the NFL, but some of those MAC games are getting 600,000-700,000 views.
Well, the MAC is just like, they're kind of way above or way ahead of everyone. They're like, fuck it. You know, we don't have any, like, I mean, that's a traditionally like, you know, football centric area, and those programs have been playing football for over 100 years,
time, man.
You know,
yeah.
And they're just like, fuck it, man. Let's tune in. Let's get the eyeballs. Like,
well, it just makes sense too. Like, on a Tuesday night, as much as MLB playoffs are on, but at the same time, gambling and baseball don't really mix very well. Yes. This is a gambling podcast. I bet on baseball. I bet on baseball yesterday. Went 2-0.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not as fun when you just throw $25 or whatever, $50 on a fucking football game.
Yeah.
It's aligned with gambling. There's a reason why football has become
baseball
so popular
is such
in
a fucking
sport.
Crapshoot, you know? I mean, I looked the other day. They've played like,
but there's people that have the skill for it.
Yeah, I guess there are people that have the skill. But I'm looking at the standings. They play like what, like 40 games or something at this point. And there's a 2-game difference between first place and last place in the NL East. Like, do we know what team's better at this point? No. Like they're all the same team. Like, and it varies from day to day. So, like, at least with football, and I don't have quite the feel for it you do in terms of like the sevens and the threes and like the point structure, how that impacts it. Although I feel like I can.
No, but it's just naturally just by it being that.
Yeah. You I think predict what the score
football
is
America's most dominant sport for many reasons.
Yeah.
But I think that is one of the, it's the most gambling friendly sport. Basketball, you get fouled. You might lose on some fucking free throws. How do you know if the player's going to foul or not with 4 seconds left?
Yeah.
They might dribble it out. They're up by 10.
Yeah.
It's one of the, it's a lot of fucking luck where football, you don't really have that as much. It's much more structured for gambling.
Yeah. Maybe if you know what you're looking for, it's easier to predict.
Anyway, I love that opening Thursday night. I'm going to get to Big 12 football, but the Boise State UCF game. Look, I already had that as like, to me, one of the best games of the week. Now you put that on Thursday night. I mean,
look, both of those teams vying for New Year's Six. Neither of them we know is going to be a playoff team, even if they go undefeated. So that really doesn't matter. But I guess they're still in the stage. Well, what they're doing is they're building for when the 8-team playoff comes, or hopefully more, circa 2025.
Well, I mean, the point is just to play a fucking game. Boise State at UCF. This game is, I almost feel like they were talking. Boise State was having talks with the AAC. This came out in. Because it's a state institution, I believe, or somehow these emails got leaked.
Yeah.
And now, you know, this could be a reality where this could be the start of something in the next couple of years. If Boise State ends up in the AAC, that could really make it interesting because yes, you do have Cincinnati there, but
could this be the start of an epic rivalry?
You never know. You never know. And I just think in general, just two of the better mid majors.
Well, I mean, getting a team like Boise to join a conference like the American is the thing that could push it into like Big East status back in the day when it was Power Six, you know?
Yeah.
They were the fringe team, but they got their respect because they had a couple teams that could compete for a national title, whether that be Virginia Tech, West Virginia, or Miami. No, I don't know if any of those teams are quite on that level, on the Miami level, certainly not yet, but you'd have a bunch of teams that are, you know, capable of winning a playoff game if they got a good draw, you know? So
yeah,
that could be a factor.
And I believe UCF's like a 4-point favorite currently in this game. So
that's in Orlando
in the bounce house, Patty C.
All right.
Give me Boise in the points.
4 at this point. Yeah. I got to go with Boise on that.
I guess you have the uncertainty of Avalos at coach, but anyway, let's get into some Big 12 football. But I just had to talk about that. That opening Thursday and Friday are fire now. So look, you got football on Wednesday with UAB, Jacksonville State. Thursday, just like 30 games now, including FCS. You know what? We don't discriminate.
Yeah.
Friday, now we have 8 games. Saturday, obviously a gigantic slate. Sunday, we actually have Florida State,
Notre Dame,
but we also have 2 FCSs, both compelling. You have Grambling, Tennessee State, Eddie George making his coaching debut.
Nice.
And then you have Jackson State and Florida A&M in Miami, both neutral site games. Eddie George games is in Canton. So
you're getting both Eddie George and primetime on Sunday?
On Sunday, along with Florida State, Notre Dame. And then on Monday, we only have one, but it's Ole Miss and Louisville, which should be a wild one.
Right.
I can't wait. Sign me up right now. College football. We talk it. By the way, if you're listening to this, you're subscribed to the College Football Experience because we talk college football year round, but make sure you subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. Me and NC Nick just dropped an ACC early looking, projecting how the ACC will shake out. We got other conferences on the way. We talk college basketball year round. That's a brand new feed. Subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. Patty C will be there talking college hoops with us as well.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's what I have missed, you know, and that's really what I wanted. And I'm glad it's happening now is this year round college basketball. And then we hit the ground running.
Yes.
Come November.
Yes. November it's coming. Look, this is the downtime in sports. This is where we do watch What did I have in the studio when you came in?
K-State versus Nebraska circa 1998.
Yeah. Nice. Michael Bishop against Eric Crouch. But yeah, I mean, this is when we dive into football and basketball happen year round here on the College Experience and in the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. So
let me say this real quick. I am at this point though, I can't just do old sports. I have to dive into live sports, you know. NBA, NBA is boring. Kobe can watch all film forever.
Yeah.
I bought NHL 2021 for Xbox, and it has the NHL 94 rewind, so I could be like Ovechkin playing in 1994.
That's smart. I'm surprised they haven't done that with Tecmo Bowl and RBI Baseball.
They
and stuff.
Should. Yeah. The problem is the idiots didn't make an online gameplay version of the 1994 one. It's like, that's why I bought it, so I could play people online. For that,
and it's always one thing that they fuck up.
They always fuck it up. Yeah,
I agree.
Anyway, I think I have to have something for April, May, June. Like,
I do feel like the NHL playoffs has been the best thing I've been watching. I mean, I believe it or not, man, I got the College World Series is starting soon for baseball. I'll try to tune into some of that.
Oh, you know what I like? UVA versus Maryland in lacrosse for the national championship.
Is that happening right now?
Coming up, next week.
Nice. But all in all, I'd rather watch old sports.
Well, I think for me, I can do. Yeah, I actually kind of agree with you. But I have to have something. So
I mean, there's so many dude. As a guy that watched a shit ton of football,
yeah,
there's so many games that either I forgot about or I've never seen these games.
Yeah,
because you can only watch so many. I mean, since I was a kid, I tried to watch every game. I remember putting fucking TVs on top of TVs back in my basement.
Yeah,
but the reality is, some of them you miss.
Yeah.
So it's what
Colby enjoys catching the games he missed. Well, especially even though you know the result.
You know that I think the product was better back then too.
Oh, that's
true. As far as like strategy, as far as, you know, offense and defense allowed to hit people.
Well, speaking of that, Big 12 football.
Yes.
Well, there was a lot of option football back then.
And see, it was so much better. And we're still waiting for Nebraska to go back to that triple. In a way, look, I planted a flag on Nebraska this year.
Yeah.
Thinking they're going to make a bowl. But I almost, in a way, want them to fail so they go back to the triple option.
Would they do that?
I don't think
they would. Are they smart enough? Their administration enough, seems to have made failure after bad mistake after bad mistake. Starting with Solich, right?
I want this pilot. It's a matter of national security.
That's right. Was it Solich the first one after Osborne?
Yeah,
then,
and he was doing triple option.
He was doing triple option. They fired him. They fired.
Then after that, I believe it came in Bill Callahan.
Yeah, who did fine, but they still fired him from what?
Then
9
Pelini.
Wins. Pelini got fired
then
for
Mike
9 and 10
Riley.
Wins. Yeah.
So then Scott Frost.
They have slowly deteriorated the program.
Paul Johnson is available. Jeff Monken almost got hired by Kansas. When we'll talk more about Kansas.
And was a candidate for Illinois, that section of the country. He's
so
from Illinois.
You gotta think. You gotta think. Come on.
Yeah. Although that's a different
Craig
option.
Bull, head coach of Wyoming. They returned like 97% of their team this year. Right?
He's a option guy.
3 8 win seasons in the past 4 years at Wyoming.
Is Bull a triple option guy?
No, but he did play under Tom Osborne, defensive back for Nebraska.
And maybe
they are a run heavy team, but it's not triple option.
Yeah.
A lot of option read. Do they go for a familiar face?
Could be. I mean, what is he? He's a defensive guy, Bull.
I think he's offensive.
Is he offensive?
But I don't know. He played defense. So I'd have to pull that up again.
The coach just bounced all over.
Because he had Kleiman as his OC. So that makes sense. Defense.
Frost coached every position on the field.
Yeah,
I feel like
he played special teams in Northern Iowa. Yeah. All right, guys, let's talk Big 12 football. Patty C.
Finally get into this.
Where are we going here in Big 12? We're going to go team by team and break down how we think, what would be a great season? What do we think? Let's start off with the Baylor Bears.
Alrighty.
Dave Aranda coming off a tough season a year ago. Granted, I think every coach that had to come into that COVID situation, you're going to hear me mentioning this all fucking year, but he went 2-7, but you've made the case to NC Nick that you look at this, I mean, overtime loss by 6 to West Virginia, 10 point loss to TCU, 7 point loss to Iowa State in Ames, 1 point loss to Texas Tech in Lubbock. They're clearly better than their record indicates.
Yeah, this team won 11 games and probably should have won the Big 12, and which would have put them probably in the playoff 2 years ago. That if that guy doesn't get walked down from behind by the Oklahoma defensive back, and then what
they didn't get seven on that.
They didn't get
three.
Seven. Yeah.
Now Jeff Grimes, offensive coordinator. We mentioned that a minute ago. Aranda year two, but this year he gets spring ball. He gets a normal fucking camp. You know, I actually think they will be much better. But you look at this. What would be a good year two? Now, Charlie Brewer, quarterback of Baylor, he had his struggles last year under Aranda. He bounces to Utah. Now, Jerry Bohannon is the guy at QB. They still have Tristan Ebner at running back. What are we thinking would be a good year? Like where would you feel as a Baylor fan would be happy with Dave Aranda in year two?
Well,
7-5, you think?
Especially with Jeff Grimes coming in, you know, you have to tamper your expectations when you have a new offensive coordinator. And I guess you could still consider this a bit of a COVID year, although I do think they had spring ball. So I think they should be able to improve pretty drastically and get back to a winning season. But if we're, yeah, I'm guessing 7 wins to answer your question.
I mean, they have 10 of 11 defensive starters keyed in as upperclassmen. I believe 8 of those 10 or 8 of those 11 seniors,
bringing back some serious experience.
So, I mean, that is really good. Returning 4 offensive linemen that are seniors. 3 wideouts seniors, Ebner, who I mentioned, senior. They really, when you look at as far as experience goes, they only start projected. Now this is all projected, 2 underclassmen.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
That is impressive. Look, this program has come a long way. It seems like there's relative stability. They've gone through a number of coaches that, you know, and still have managed to maintain a winning record throughout that period. And there's been talent there the entire time. I'm looking at their 2021 recruits, 14 out of 17 recruits from the state of Texas. So staying right at home.
Yeah. They should have a pretty loaded receiving core with RJ Sneed and Tyquan Thornton. They also bring in this LSU transfer. This guy, 6'4", 350 pounds. NG Siaka Yaka. I don't know how to fucking pronounce these names. All right. But I can tell you, this guy should be probably making an immediate impact on that defensive line there. So let's go through the schedule here at Texas State. Dangerous game. I like what Spavital is doing here.
Yeah.
I saw someone's rankings for college football this season. I'm trying to rank all 130 teams. I want to say it was one of these. I don't know if it was 24/7 Sports or whatever, but they had Texas State pretty far back, like in the 120s.
Yeah.
I completely disagreed. I mean, this team showed us that look, they didn't win the games they should have last year.
Yeah. They played in a lot of close games though.
I saw the talent, man. I saw like some really good athletes, and I think Texas State will be better than what they were projecting. Now, I wish I could recall the platform off the top of my head right now, but I can't. But you look back at a season ago with Texas State. Yes, did they had some ones you wonder, okay, how did this happen? But I was impressed. Another thing is their quarterback issues with COVID were happening all year. Texas State went 2-10 last year, but look at the 7-point loss to a good SMU team.
Yeah,
UTSA double overtime. UTSA was bowl eligible, made a bowl, right? At Boston College by 3, and they were up majority of this game. I watched this game. Right, that's 3 right there. That
against pretty decent competition.
Yes. Then okay, you get whooped by Troy, you lose by 10 to South Alabama, you get whooped by BYU, you only lose by 10 to Louisiana Lafayette. That's better than Iowa State did.
Yeah.
Right. You did get whooped by App State, Georgia Southern. You lose the triple option, Georgia Southern. You lose by 2. Georgia Southern, good team.
Yeah. All right, Baylor's not careful. I mean, I don't know what caused them to schedule. Conference USA,
Sun Belt, the worst team in the Sun Belt. Traditionally, they just jumped up with Everett Withers from JMU.
Boom.
This is in San Marcos. This is
yeah. That's what I'm saying. Only 2 hours down the road. You know, Texas State's going to look at this as a Super Bowl opportunity. So, yeah, and then the following week, they're going to get that win. They're going to beat Texas
State. I think it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. Don't fall asleep at the wheel, but let's give them the win.
I can tell you this.
Yeah.
I don't know about Texas State's defense because that was horrible last year. That offense is going to move the ball. Those receivers can play.
Yeah. I like that quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they're going to be fine offensively. My point is if Baylor, who struggled to score the ball last year.
Yeah.
I get it. Texas State's defense is trash, but you get in a shootout. I'm telling you, they got receivers that can play. So watch out. Yeah. I think it's a low key slept on game for week one. Let's give them the win though. Baylor. To
maybe
get the
Jeff
win.
Grimes hasn't gotten his stuff installed yet.
Yeah. Dangerous. I mean, I think it's a dangerous more than I think most think.
Yeah.
Week two, they get Texas Southern, Michael Strahan's alma mater from the FCS.
They'll kill them.
They're horrible, so they're going to kill them.
Yeah.
Week three at Kansas.
They'll kill them. That was
don't sleep. I'm going to get to Kansas. Do not sleep on my
I'm
guy.
I'm sleeping on Lance Leopold and
Les Miles is recruiting somewhat decently.
Look
here, for Kansas.
Let me say this: Baylor won two games last year, one game by 1 point at home against Kansas State, right, and the other game by 34 against
well, you're gonna see what Kansas. Five national championships Lance Leopold won on the D3 level.
Okay.
And you saw what he did with Buffalo. And to me, this team he's walking into a Kansas
I
way
saw
more
Les
talented.
Miles win a national championship at the
but he's the opposite of FBS Lance Leopold.
Yeah. He's kind
of
had
the opposite of Leopold.
He's used to having all the talent in the world. Leopold's done more with less. Although I would argue that Wisconsin Whitewater has had plenty of talent relative there.
What he did with Buffalo, all it took was like, look at year one at Buffalo. He took them and instantly made them 5-7 when they were horrible the year before.
Yeah.
Now, granted, 5-7 is 5-7. I think this Kansas team is better than that Buffalo team.
I don't think you're selling me a bucket on him, but I do think, I do think it's going to take some time and some work.
I'll tell you this: Kansas win total is at 1.
Yeah,
they play South Dakota week 1.
Hit the hard over on that one.
I'm all over the over.
Yeah,
and I think this is a winnable game for Kansas against Baylor.
Wow, sleeping on the Bears. All right,
heard
let's keep
it here
it
first.
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0. Home to Iowa State.
Loss.
Okay, 3-1 at OK State.
Probably a loss.
Yeah, I think so too. 3-2, home to West Virginia, who they played double overtime last year.
They're going to get this win.
I don't know
they are.
I got them losing this one. 3-3, right?
Yeah.
Home to BYU. Oh. This is where they get the win.
Well, let me ask you this, because I feel like this really benefits BYU, because Satake obviously is going to know what Jeff Grimes does on offense, and especially if it's just
that's
like the most
point.
Fundamental version
point.
Of that offense. Yeah. Satake will probably D that up in his sleep, you know?
Satake... underrated coach too.
Yeah.
Great appetizer at every Japanese restaurant. I'll try some an order of the Satake. I'm going to give it to Baylor. Are you? You got balls? Are you going
to
go?
I'm giving it to BYU.
So you got them at 3-4?
Yeah.
I got them at 4-3.
Okay.
Home to Texas.
That's a tempting game. They'll lose that. They could win that. They could easily win that.
So I got them at 4-4.
Okay.
At TCU. They could win this.
They could win that too. I got them losing that. But between BYU, Texas, and TCU, they'll win one of them. So
it's
I got
a hard
them
schedule,
at
man.
4-5. Hosting OU.
Loss.
Yeah.
At K-State. Loss. Home to Texas Tech. Win.
They'll get a win there.
So look, I'm making the case for Texas State, Texas Southern, Kansas, 3 wins. Then they get BYU 4. They could beat TCU 5 and Texas Tech 6. 6-6, I think, is the ceiling.
6-6 is what Athlon has them projected at preseason. I got them going 5-7. Take the under as far as Patty C is concerned. Although,
let me tell you, I mean, we're going to
go against their recent history. They have been a pretty good program.
And by the way, guys, we are going to break down all 130 college football teams, just like we did last year. Obviously last year got crazy because the schedules all changed because of COVID, but we will have you, we're going to go game by game, team by team, with the over and the under. So we don't want to tip our hand too much here, but that all starting on June 14th. So stay tuned.
Well, let me say this too.
What's that?
Aranda. That's the flip side of that. We're saying Jeff Grimes is brand new. it's going to be trouble. Well, Dave Aranda is now in year two, and year one was a COVID year for him. And the last time that he was coaching on a
non-COVID season, he won a national championship.
That's right. That's right. So maybe he'll have them a lot further along. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think probably 6-6.
All right. 6-6.
I think if you're a Baylor fan, you'd be thrilled with 7-5. You're happy with 6-6.
A little disappointed in 5-7.
Yes. Yes. And anything below that, obviously you're like, what the fuck is this higher?
Yeah.
Right. Let's change horses midstream now. All right. Let's go over to the Cyclones of Iowa State, buddy. This is a year. This is what I think they're the most interesting team in college football this year.
Yeah. Well, when you really consider just how good their offense is and their skill positions.
Well, just the trajectory that Campbell has them on. And then you find out he turned down $68.5 million from the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
He hasn't even had conversations with other bigger Power Five schools.
Yeah. He's getting looks.
I think I love him because this is great that he doesn't give a fuck. This is like an old school. He's going to do, I'm hoping he stays the course at Iowa State and turns it into like what Joe Paterno turned Penn State into.
He's the anti Chris Beard.
Yes. Yes. Well, Chris Beard's still going to the school that started for him though.
Yeah. He's going to
give
his
him a little
modern.
Bit of a pass. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to give him a pass.
And they gave him his first job too. I think it's a GA. Oh, really? Yeah. So
Chris Beard, you're excused,
but you look at this and the trajectory, Patty C. I mean, this team has now, I think the past 3 years, he's been there 4 years, past 3 years, bowls, mm-hmm. and they're only getting better per season. So last year we saw them get to the Big 12 championship, come really close, come about 20 yards away from winning the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, if they didn't have lay that stinker of a third quarter,
then they
could have easily won that game. Cause once they figured it out in the fourth,
But you saw this though. Brock Purdy could have went pro. Breece Hall could have went pro.
I mean, for his first team All American, 1,500 some odd rushing yards.
And what they said, we were coming back and we buy into what Matt Campbell's doing here.
Yeah.
And
dude, he's got an eye for running backs because the guy who went to the Bears was
David Montgomery. They had a guy, the backup to Breece Hall this year got drafted.
Yeah.
So
and these dudes are all passing the eye test. They look like NFL stars.
Yeah. You look at this, Xavier Hutchinson back at the wideout spot. They got a great tight end in Charlie Kohler. They returned their entire offensive line, Patty C. That's something we should really hide on.
Yeah.
Or highlight on, not hide on. But and then how about this? 9 starters returning on the defensive side of the ball, Patty C. All in all, 18 starters back out of a possible 22.
Yeah.
You're loving this. You got to be loving this.
I'm looking up David Montgomery's pro production. 2 years, 1,959 yards. So it's about 1,000 yard year guy in the NFL.
Yeah,
kind of.
And he's only getting better. I mean, towards the end of the season, he was playing really good.
Yeah.
This is, I think, the most interesting team in college football.
If you could put together like a list of like important factors, super experienced quarterback who's elite.
Yeah.
You know. All American running back, entire offense.
Stud wideout, Xavier Hutchinson, stud tight end. This tight end is a fucking beast, and Charlie Kohler.
Yeah.
Remember him from the DFS shows that we were doing or playing him a lot, the DFS. And then the fact, like I said, you're bringing back 9 starters on defense, Patty C. And even, I believe, they just went in the transfer portal and landed a defensive back. So they're going to be experienced. They're going to be in the Big 12 championship. Can we say that? But I will say the Big 12 definitely making it harder for them with what they did with the Oklahoma game. Used to play that one kind of more in September and October. Put this one on a second half of a back to back. What should we expect? Let's go through this schedule. If you're a Cyclone fan, are you actually thinking it's Big 12 championship or bust?
Yes. I think at this point, you have to temper your expectations just because you aren't
used to this,
used to this, and cranking out top 10 recruiting classes every year. And even though he does seem to be identifying and developing talent better than most other coaches in the country,
he's a Mount Union guy.
Is that right?
Yeah,
Mount Union. Wait, who am I thinking of? What, Wisconsin Whitewater and Mount Union? Are they both D3 or do they have a rivalry? I feel like they both have won 100 national championships.
Yeah, I feel like they have too.
Yeah,
but I mean, this guy's pedigree. I love Matt Campbell. I hope he stays at Ames. Imagine if he stays the course, dude. Imagine if he stays the fucking course.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually this is when they bail.
He could
they
do what Bill Snyder did to K-State.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be called Matt Campbell Stadium if he stays for 10 or 15 years.
That's true. Dude,
why not do it? I hate our culture now of like, oh, well, Michigan's offering me. Look, would you rather be a legend or a guy that's going to coach at Michigan for 3 years?
Yeah, and just be another Michigan coach.
Yeah, or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
getting,
I understand
11
it,
or 12
capitalism.
Wins.
You want more money, but at the same time, I feel wins like look at
enough.
Bill Snyder. People remember Bill Snyder. They don't remember, you know, Brady Hoke. They won't remember Brady. No, yeah. No disrespect to you, Brady.
Right.
I'm just saying Brady Hoke, if he would have stayed at Ball State, maybe built that thing into a winner. You know, or wherever. I don't think that's an analogy I'm coming up with on the fly because maybe right. Ball State, maybe that's a harder gig.
Right.
But he's at a Power Five school. He's doing this.
Yeah. You don't have to, you know, jump ship.
Yeah.
Just because you know you're getting paid a little less.
Saying, look at Frank Beamer. Look at Bill Snyder. If you build it that way, you'll be a legend forever.
He's a rare breed in this age. He's almost an anomaly.
Yeah. So let's look at this schedule, Patty C.
Yeah.
They get Northern Iowa out the gate. This is
they
tricky.
Took a step back last year, Northern Iowa.
Well, that's because their quarterback got out for the year.
Gotcha.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're always good.
Yes. And they always give other Iowa teams
yes.
hell.
Yes.
Now they managed to lose by one or two every single
time.
This
is still a harder game than scheduling UMass, scheduling Bowling Green, scheduling.
Absolutely.
Akron scheduling.
Oh, Northern Iowa could be a.
They're a bowl team.
Yeah,
and you put them up in the FBS, they'll make a bowl.
They could be a MAC like
yeah
champion.
Yeah,
yeah.
So out the gates, Northern Iowa, they got to get past that. But and then after that, the big one, Saturday, September 11th, against the Hawkeyes. This is must watch TV for me because you know I love both coaches.
Yeah,
I can't wait to watch this one. And last time, and but Campbell's been able to get over on Lincoln Riley, Kirk Ferentz. Some could argue it's a horseshoe. Because the last time they were played, it looked like Iowa State was going to win this thing, and then Lightning, like an 8 hour delay.
Yeah,
and then I think Iowa
crushed
wins 18-17.
Yeah,
right. And then I think that one of the times they blew them out. The other time I think Iowa won in overtime. Ferentz I think undefeated against Campbell, but they've been
really
yeah they've been dogfights.
Five in a row for Iowa now.
Well, Campbell's only been there 4 years, so
okay,
yeah. But I think one or two of those were ugly.
42-3 4 years ago.
Yeah, that was the bad team.
31-17. But that what's his name wasn't there yet, Campbell.
Yeah.
So yeah, mainly close games. 44-41 overtime.
Dude,
13-3.
This is must watch. This is one of the best games of the year. This is one of the best games of the fucking year. I
definitely,
can't wait to watch
definitely.
It.
September 11th.
Who are you giving that to? Cyclones?
I mean, do you think there's
it's in Ames.
Do you think that makes a difference?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I don't think,
and I think Iowa has the defense to actually make this game. This is going to be a field goal game. Iowa State's going to get over. This is another part of that trajectory though, of winning the Big 12. Can you beat Iowa and really,
I mean, yeah, if you're going to turn a corner as a program, it starts by winning your in-state
yes,
battle.
Yes. So I'm going to say Iowa State gets it done this year.
I agree. I think this
28-24.
Boom.
Late touchdown. Minute left.
Hawkeyes.
Yes. So I got them at 2-0. Then they're at
Cyclones, rather. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I got them at 2-0. Then they're at the Death Star. Everyone's playing at the Death Star, right?
Check out the new digs.
I don't understand this one. But I love the fact you're going to play a Mountain West team on the road.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen at a lot of Power Five schools. So UNLV is trash. They should be able to handle this one. Iowa State rolls, right?
Yeah, it should be manageable.
At Baylor. We already went that. We gave that one to Iowa State.
Well, questionable scheduling by Iowa State
back
here.
To back away.
Give yourself a back to back away, like for no reason, going into conference play.
By the way, they have another back to back away. That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, and not short trips either. Iowa to Las Vegas, and then Iowa down to Texas.
Yeah, yeah. We still got them beating Baylor.
Yeah.
We got them beating Kansas. We have them starting out 5-0, Patty C.
Oh yeah, they get the
Saturday
bye before Kansas State. Now that is good schedule.
That is, but fuck, are they
it's
winning
a tough
that
game? That's a tough game. I mean, you got to figure Clemson's going to be ready for him.
I think they're going to beat K-State.
K-State coming off a bye as well. Will we see College Game Day in Manhattan for this one?
Gun your head. You're going Cyclones in Manhattan though. I could totally see them losing this.
Look
game,
at this.
Dude. I could totally see them losing.
K-State starts out with Stanford, Southern Illinois, Nevada, at Oklahoma, and then Oklahoma. They're probably going to lose.
No, then Iowa State, right? You said Oklahoma or, twice.
No, at Oklahoma State, sorry, and then Oklahoma.
Okay.
And then they get a bye before Iowa State. So if somehow Kansas State manages to get through that undefeated,
they're not going to be undefeated.
Then College Game Day will definitely be in Manhattan for this one, but they'll have one loss probably, but College Game Day still may be there for this.
I mean, climbing 2-0 against Lincoln Riley, anything can happen, right?
That's true. That's true.
Gun your head. Where are you going?
I gotta go Kansas State here.
I think
they always do it.
I think so too.
They always get someone.
I think so too.
Yeah.
In Manhattan, I'm gonna go K-State.
Yeah.
5-1. Then they're home to OK State. Dangerous game.
Yeah.
Dangerous game.
They'll rebound.
Yeah.
Campbell won't let them lose 2 in a row.
They win that one.
No, here's a fucking dangerous game.
Oh my god.
Game.
Then October 30th, they're at WVU. Dude, look at this stretch. At K-State, home to OK State, at West Virginia, home to Texas, at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma, home to TCU.
Big 12 football, man.
Fuck me.
It ain't no joke.
There's no gimmies. There's no fucking gimmies.
Yeah. After that bye week, the rest of the season is just go.
Dude, their easiest game on their schedule is UNLV, and it's at UNLV.
Right. Well, no, Kansas at home is the easiest game on this.
I don't think so. With Leopold, I think
you're crazy.
Dude, UNLV is trash.
It takes, that's true. Maybe you're right. So is Kansas though. They're both hot garbage.
Leopold or Arroyo is a terrible coach.
Okay. That's true. Either way, they'll win both of those games. The back half of their schedule, complete murderer's row.
Okay, so at West Virginia, who you taking? I'm taking Matt Campbell to get it done.
Yeah, I mean just based on recent history, but not a forgiving schedule. Come home to Texas.
So I got them at 7-1.
Yeah,
they're home to Texas.
I think they beat Texas.
I do too.
Yeah,
8-1 at Texas Tech.
Jeez, oh fucking flip! Can this you go to all the hardest stadiums in the country? Seriously, and then they go to Oklahoma the following week.
There's no way they're going.
They'll lose one.
They might lose both these.
They might lose both those. They'll lose at Norman.
Yeah,
and they'll be in an absolute dogfight against Texas Tech. I'll give them one loss out of those two, just because I project them to have a huge season.
And then home to TCU. Dangerous.
They'll get that 10-2.
They only beat TCU by 3 last year.
Yeah,
Duggan was a freshman.
Dude, the Big 12 is really good. Big 12.
They're going 9-3, bro.
You think?
I just think we're giving them a lot of 50-50 games. Yeah. We're giving them Iowa. We're giving them Oklahoma State. We're giving them at West Virginia. Well, we're giving them home to Texas. We're giving them at Texas Tech. We're giving them home to TCU.
Dude, they returned 10 starters on offense and 9 starters on defense.
19 players back. I still just think that's a fucking brutal schedule, dude.
That's a brutal, very tough
fucking
schedule. So 9-3 is where you said it. Projected record by Athlon 10-3. So I guess I don't know if that includes winning or losing the Big 12 championship game.
I think they can win the Big 12 championship, but I think they deserve a shot in a playoff. But we don't have a playoff; we have an invitational. But
they will be denied again and playing in a New Year's Six.
I mean, you gotta love the trajectory.
Here's the thing: is Matt Campbell gonna be able to field a team as good as this team again? When how many years has Purdy been there?
Yeah, he's a senior. So,
and how many years he's been starting though?
I think this is a three year starter.
Man, yeah, he's a good quarterback.
Breece Hall just a junior, but he might go pro.
You got to figure.
Kohler just a junior, but he might go pro. I don't know, but I mean, you got to think that's a brutal fucking schedule, dude.
Yeah. I think we're being optimistic, but fuck it, 10-2. You heard it here first.
I think they're going to play in the Big 12 championship, and I think they could.
I think they're going to need to be 10-2 in order to play in the Big 12 championship. There might be enough carnage in the Big 12 than a 9-3 team.
I think there's going to be a ton of carnage this
year.
I think K-State's better than what people realize. I think West Virginia's better than what people realize.
When was the last time a three-loss team played in the Big 12 championship game, though? I feel like that hasn't happened very often.
Well, Stay tuned for this year, buddy. Stay tuned. All right. I want to tell you guys, all right, that the College Football Experience is brought to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas Experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos and odds and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer up to a $500 risk-free bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at winbet.com and download the app today.
Boom.
Man, Iowa State. So now we got to go over and talk Kansas Jayhawk football. What if I told you this is a 30 for 30 introduction?
Well, yeah.
What if I told you that I think Kansas, one of the more interesting teams in the country now, all of a sudden, a month ago, I wouldn't have told you this, but they hired Leopold.
I would tell you you're crazy. I would say that maybe you're too high on Lance Leopold.
Do I need to tell you the rest? All right. Do I need to tell you what he has done in his career? This team has talent. I'm telling you, this team is going to win more than one game, right? Well, the win total's at one.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be chippy. They're going to be chippy.
It's not like you're making a world shattering prediction there.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think you realize this team is more talented. Les Miles was failing in every way.
Dude, you know what he did at Buffalo? His record at Buffalo was 37-33. Now, granted, at Wisconsin Whitewater, he did go 15-0 five times in six seasons. That's kind of impressive.
What are you trying to, the Buffalo thing? I mean, this was not this was a program that was recently in the FCS.
109-6 at Wisconsin Whitewater. Good Lord.
I'm telling you, he's going to make them. I'm going to call it right now. Ready?
Yeah.
He's winning four games.
Wow.
Four fucking games. Four games year one.
Well, let me see something here. Cause I think that you're overestimating just
four games. And I see a couple. He could be 3-1. He could be 3-1. And don't sleep. If I'm a Chanticleer fan, don't sleep on that game on September 11th. This is all of a sudden turned into a great year to watch Kansas football, in my opinion, because I think if you're a fan, there's a reason to be excited, a legit reason to be excited.
You know, you might be onto something. I didn't realize Buffalo was this bad before. I think I'm just that 1-8-5 season under Jeff Quinn, like, tricked me into thinking they were a decent program before he took over. But I'm looking back here.
Well, it's not only that, he's getting players drafted this year. When you watch the draft, you're like, dude, they had a decent, I mean, nothing crazy, but I'm saying they had like two or three players drafted, and you're like, and this has become like a regular thing.
I mean, here we go. The previous starting in 1999, when they became a FBS team, they had managed two seasons of more than five wins up until his arrival.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying.
Basically, other than that, it was like 2-3 or 0-win seasons.
And dude, that kid, Jalen Daniels, at quarterback, showed flashes last year as a freshman. With Les Miles, he's coming in there. Kwame Lassiter, the second, you know, son of Kwame Lassiter, the safety from the Cardinals. He's back at wide receiver. I think he's got something good here. This defense returns. Now, obviously, I don't think they're bowling this year, but I think anyone that thinks Kansas is going to be that doormat, they returned 17 starters, guys. All right. Yes, they were trash, but this team was recruiting. We know that. I was sending you stuff the past couple of years. Les Miles was recruiting at a much better level than Kansas traditionally recruits at.
Yeah. So you give a little talent to a guy that does a lot with a little.
Then I'm telling you, three or four games. They're winning three or four games.
Wow.
Out the gate, they're going to beat the South Dakota Coyotes September 4th. Now, as a fan of if you're a fan of Kansas, I think you should be happy with two wins.
Yeah.
Right? Considering this was a late fucking hire, this is a really late hire, but South Dakota, September 4th, I think they're going to win. Right. Then September 11th at Coastal Carolina. This is actually kind of a good spot to catch Coastal Carolina because Coastal Carolina plays a triple option team the week before.
They're not going into Conway and giving them an L.
Dude, last year they lost by 15.
they're going to lose by more this
year. I think Leopold is a 15-point difference coach.
Guess what? I'm looking at the history of Buffalo football seasons here. They've been playing football since 1894. The last 3 years at Buffalo, and he only was there for 5 years, his last 3 years were the three most winningest combined 3 year period in Buffalo football history.
Are you starting to buy in now?
I mean, that's an impressive stat, but still the best they did was 10-4. So
what do you mean?
That's a great season. You know, that's one.
What do you expect them to go 12-0? They play like at Penn State every year.
That's true.
They play like at these ridiculous games. Like that. What do you mean?
Okay. 10-4, but then 8-5 and 6-6. I mean, that's a total of what they had. 24 wins in a 3 year period, averaging 8 wins. That's not a guy that's winning national championships.
I'm not saying Kansas is winning a national championship.
Yeah.
But I'm saying is that, I mean, I think he's better than a lot of coaches that do get national championship credit.
Where do you think, do you think he has Mark Mangino upside?
Yeah, I do.
There
I do.
It is. Does he curse?
That probably, you know, normally when from my studies on the planet, the more you win, the more you curse.
Right. So that explains a lot about Kansas football right there, because cursing is not allowed.
Hold on. Let's go through the schedule. South Dakota. Are you going to go there and say win?
Dude, they're losing the rest of their games.
I'll bet you on that.
They might.
They're going to beat Baylor and Duke back to back. Watch that. Them. They're going to be 3-1, dude. They welcome Texas Tech. They could win that game.
I will bet you. I will bet you 4 shots.
All right. Done deal.
That they
done
do not deal. Start 3-1.
Well, I'm not saying 3-1. I'm saying they're going to win 3 or 4 games.
Okay. I'll bet you 4 shots. They don't win 3 games.
Okay. Deal.
All right.
Deal.
Shake on it.
Boom.
There it is.
Done deal. All right. I can't wait. That's what I'm saying. Why am I finding the Big 12 Colby, according to NC Nick? I'm finding the most interesting teams in the Big 12 here. Kansas is going to be better, a lot better than people
three
realize.
3-1 Kansas, he says. He says Leopold's going to come in there and win more games than
top prospect in Kansas. Go state and state running back Devin Neal coming to Kansas.
Oh, snap.
That's Barry Sanders 2.0, Patty C. All right. You really think they could beat Duke? They could beat Texas Tech. They could beat Baylor. I even think, don't sleep on them Jayhawks or Wildcats. Don't sleep on the Mountaineers. You're coming into, you know, Memorial Stadium seating 50,000. You better believe the fans are going to show up there. By the way, I was reading that Wichita State trying to get that football program back up.
Nice.
They should.
They should.
Bill Parcells. Wichita
Where would
State.
They be? Conference USA, potentially.
I don't even know if they would go FCS first. I don't know what they would do, but I was reading that this is pre-COVID though.
Yeah.
That they want to. Bring the football program back.
I mean, football is big enough in the state of Kansas. They should be able to get 3 teams on the FBS level, or at least, I mean, I don't even
they
know.
Should. Wichita State, though, I mean, you got a rich history.
Yeah.
Like I said, Bill Parcells, buddy.
Right? Yeah, and you got the basketball team to like give them a little clout there. I would say I was under the assumption that maybe he'd be building a fence around the state if he's bringing in the top overall recruit from the state of Kansas.
Well, he is the only Leopold. Guy. He came after this.
That's true. It's not Leopold.
It's not him at all.
But that was the only guy from the state of Kansas they had on the recruiting class. They are heavily recruiting Texas like the rest of the Big 12. So there you go. That's one thing we were talking about.
So if you're a Jayhawk fan, where are you going?
I'm going.
What's a happy season for you? 2 wins, 2-10.
2 wins, I think. I mean, it's a happy season for you.
No, I'm saying like, what are you saying? Progress. Leopold is here. I like the hire.
I would say 3 wins.
Okay,
is something you would have to say. Okay, that's a starting point.
Even though this late and the hire just happened a few weeks ago.
I mean, if you get 2 wins, if you're 2-10, you can't get excited about that.
Did they win a game last year? No,
they went 1-11 last year.
Who they beat?
Oh. No, they were 0-9. Oh, they're that's projected 1-11. Yeah, no, they were 0-9 last year.
So I think you got to be happy with 2.
That's right. Even 1 win's an improvement. So,
let's talk Kansas State Wildcat football, Patty C. This is my look. I'm not gonna go with overs on every fucking team. Our team previews will do that, but this is one of my locks for over 5.5 wins. Last year, they had the craziest season ever with COVID and their quarterback tearing an ACL. Chris Kleiman's a winner. He was 8-4 in year one, and they were projected to be really bad last year. Obviously, I think they could have. They beat Oklahoma with wide receivers playing defensive back, and that's a pass happy team.
That was a great win.
But I'm saying my point is last year, like if they had just not played like a bunch of other teams, they probably would have had a winning season, and people would say, "Oh, this guy's a great coach." Well, no, he is a great coach, and I expect this team to be now defensively. I know they lost a ton defensively, but these guys, just because they weren't starters in some of these games last year, they got experience because of the COVID situation.
Yeah.
So I know that you look and say, oh, only three returning starters on defense. No, some of these guys got a lot of burn. They got a lot of burn last year. So 5.5 is the win total. Now they do have a tricky schedule because getting Stanford in a neutral site game, being that that is your 10th power five, then you're playing Nevada, which I think Nevada's legit this year. I see people calling for them top 25, right? Fringe top 25.
Fortunately, you're getting them at home.
But Nevada, a team that Carson Strong, I've seen things that he can end up a top 10 pick.
Wow.
Southern Illinois, our boy Stone Labanowitz, that's an FCS playoff team. Yeah. So every team on your schedule, with the exception of, I guess we're going to make the Kansas argument, pretty much.
Yeah, this
pretty
is
solid.
This is
year.
A yeah. Schedule without a cupcake, except probably Kansas.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be a lot better, especially by when you catch them.
Yeah, and you got to go to Lawrence
in November.
Which,
yeah.
You know.
So let's break this down by schedule, by game by game. Patty C. Stanford.
I think they win that neutral site in Arlington, Texas. That should be a good game.
It's great, great game.
Yeah.
9 a.m. kick on the West, noon East.
I would take K-State at this point.
I would too, but I think this is a close one.
Yeah.
This is a 24-21 or something like that. 31-28. Week two, they welcome in our boy Stone Labanowitz, quarterback of Southern Illinois. Dangerous. Avante Cox, great wide receiver for the Salukis.
Yeah, don't sleep
on the Salukis.
You know, Ole Miss has put out some quarterbacks. And
Labanowitz played at Ole
Miss.
Stone
has completed a pass for the Rebels.
Hey, he's got a better pass completion percentage, better quarterback rating than Eli Manning.
Boom.
So
Hall of Fame.
There we go. No, well, no, never.
Labanowitz Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah.
Eli certainly not.
Then that Nevada game. Air Raid, Jay Norvell, Matt Mummy, Timmy Chang, all part of that coaching staff coming into
Kleiman. Had, like you said, a tough year last year, three losses by 4 points or less.
Especially considering they had like 30 players out.
That's right. They were 4-6. They did end the season with 5 straight L's.
Well, that's because their quarterback tore his ACL, Skylar Thompson. He's back. They also got a Nebraska transfer to add some depth to that quarterback room if that happens again. But a lot of it was also having 35 players out every week.
Yes, that does make things harder. I think they're going to start 3-0.
The Nevada game scares me more than the Kansas game. Nevada was legit.
Or more than the Stanford game.
Yeah. What did I say? Kansas. Yes. Yeah. Nevada played San Jose State close. I mean, Nevada almost went undefeated, dude.
Interesting.
They lost at Hawaii on the island 24-21.
Nevada, not on my radar as much as they probably should be.
And I think the last time they played a power five was Purdue and they beat them. So, that's a dangerous game, but then, okay. At OK State, let's give them 3-0.
Yeah.
At OK State, September 25th,
probably a loss. Could be a loss.
I think it's a loss.
Yeah.
3-1 home to Oklahoma. Kleiman's 2-0 against Lincoln Riley.
You got to figure the luck runs out at some, but not luck.
I don't know, in Manhattan.
No, it's
this
dangerous.
Is the week before the Red River Shootout. They're going to beat Oklahoma.
It certainly wouldn't be shocking, you know, but if I had to bet right now, straight up with my hard-earned cash, I'm taking Oklahoma. They did close the gap on Kansas State really fast last year. Those Spencer Rattler's like one of his first games coming through.
They had Jalen Hurts and they beat him in Manhattan.
It's true. You make a good point.
No, the best part is where they catch him because they're thinking Texas.
Yeah.
The next week, and they got to go into Manhattan.
And they had hosted
just
West Virginia.
Trap city. It's just trap fucking city, dude.
Yeah, it's true. It's never a fun place to go to.
K-State's going to go 3-0 against the Sooners. You heard it here first.
Okay, I got them with two losses there. You got them with one. Let's keep going.
Home to Iowa State.
we said. No, we said
no, we said they win.
They win that. Yeah. That's right.
So I would have them then at 4-1 at Texas Tech. Now this, I guess, they're just due for a loss that I'm not seeing. Yeah. For you, you could give them a win. I don't know. Yeah. So I'll give them the loss at Texas Tech. Home to TCU. They beat TCU a season ago. I think they can do it again. At Kansas, I told you that's going to be trickier than projected.
That's a win.
Home to West Virginia.
That should be a win. Although home to Baylor. Crushed by West Virginia.
They're going
to
lose one of those, right?
Yeah.
And then at Texas, who they?
They probably lose.
They're going to go 7-5 or 8-4.
Yeah.
They're going to smash that over though. 5.5. I am going to make this guarantee. Kansas State will be a bowl team.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, 5.5 is.
Wow, that's easy.
Yeah,
easy,
easy cash.
Do it now because I got Athlon showing 7-5 is their projected record. So Vegas is giving you 5.5.
Yeah, and Deuce Vaughn, that running back, it was a freshman for K-State last year.
Nice.
He's nasty.
He was like a little Darren Sproles.
So you get a fifth-year senior and Skylar Thompson back, right?
Yeah.
With Deuce Vaughn, I'm telling you, this team's going to be able to do some things. Watch out for the Wildcats. So if you're a K-State fan, what should you be happy with? Just a bowl?
I think
they're a sleeper to win. I actually think they're a sleeper to play with knowing that Iowa State can go 9-3. And if they beat Iowa State in Manhattan,
they have the tiebreaker on them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you rule yourself out of the Big 12 championship game if you're a K-State
fan. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you are content with an 8-4 season. I think 7-5 is meh, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you. So, yeah, I mean, I think Klieman's just doing a pretty darn good job. I think last year's that. Okay. Yeah. Don't get too caught up in last year.
We are huge, Bernie Lomax fans, AKA, Bill Snyder.
Yes.
But, I will say that Klieman has come in and has earned our respect and
enjoy he won him. 3 national championships at North Dakota State. So, I mean,
yeah,
should help some. Let's go to the Sooners. Let's go to your Sooners, buddy.
My Sooners, he says.
Yes.
Get out of here with that nonsense. Boomer, though. Boomer Sooner projected number one national forecast.
Do we call him Oklahoma or do we call him Tennessee?
Number 3. Yeah, exactly.
The Oklahoma Vols. with all the transfers that they got from Tennessee, which was a talented team. So you look at this team, Patty C, defensively, they should be good. And they got, you know, that defense was playing ball last year. What's my guy's name? The defensive coordinator from Leach, Alex Grinch. Getting that defense really together, and you got to love really like their front seven for the most part, all back from Nick Bonito to Deshaun White to Jalen Redmond, all those guys back. This defense should really be the difference for if the offense doesn't fuck it up, you know what I mean? Like, and Rattler was clearly getting better. They get Eric Gray at running back, the Tennessee transfer. They lose Rambo. John J. Rambo transfers to Miami, but that he kind of got lost in the mix last year with Marvin Mims and Weiss and Austin Stogner, great tight end. This offense should be fire. I mean, look, there's a reason why people are saying this team is a national championship caliber team, Patty C.
Yeah.
But you look back at last year, they did lose to K-State when they were depleted. They did lose at Iowa State. Now, late in the year, they turned it on. But still, only a 13-point win against Baylor, only a 6-point win against Iowa State in the Big 12 championship. I understand they blew out Florida. I understand they blew out Oklahoma State. But are we just jumping the gun a little bit on the Sooners?
Number one offense in the Big 12 last year, number 3 defense in the Big 12 last year. I don't think we're jumping the gun on them. I think at this point we should expect them to be good. Lincoln Riley's proven it time and again. I think the only thing that he has to do now is win in the playoffs, and this may be a possibility for them this year.
We'll see. Let's look at the schedule and see. At Tulane, kudos to the Big 12 going. Look, Iowa State's playing at UNLV.
Yeah.
Kansas is playing at Coastal Carolina. That's K-State right. Getting a neutral game with Stanford and then playing. No, they're not hitting the road. They're getting Nevada in Manhattan. But my point is
well,
so
they're
far.
Going to destination locations. So maybe that's part of their scheduling model. You know, you got Las Vegas, you got Dallas, you got New Orleans.
It's still and a risky.
The beach over in Carolina, South Carolina.
It's a risky thing though, man, to hit the road.
It is. Especially when you're playing 9 conference games, you don't need to be like making it
but
that much.
That's to me that the Pac-12, I commend them for doing that, but that also is what hurts you.
Yeah. No, there's absolutely no doubt that the Big 12 and the Pac 12,
like Stanford playing at UCF, themselves in the foot. Is hurting them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, they played at UCF.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Or some of these other ones that are absolutely wild. But you look at this at Tulane, they should get that done. Tulane, though, I have seen some public, you know, I gotta mention my guy, Willie Fritz, doing a great job. But, you know, there are some publications that have them as like a top 35, top 40 team, the Green Wave.
I don't know if I'm on board.
You're on board with Michael Pratt. You said that.
I'm on board with Michael Pratt. He's got beautiful golden locks. Well-built man.
So that's a win. This is the dumbest game of the college football season. This is probably almost as bad as, I think one of the worst is Eastern Illinois at South Carolina. There's the Mercer Alabama angle too, or Akron Auburn.
Yeah.
But Western Carolina, who's horrible and been horrible,
traveling halfway across the country
to Norman, Oklahoma. That's just a flat out 100-point win for the Sooners.
Yeah.
Week three, they welcome Scott Frost in Nebraska.
They got to boost Rattler's
any chance
Heisman resume at some point.
Any chance for the Cornhuskers?
I don't think the Cornhuskers are ready. I think the Cornhuskers. I think the Cornhuskers will be ready next. I'm starting to get a little drunk.
Oh, nice, buddy.
This Modelo
okay.
is delicious.
West Virginia, week four.
In Norman, I think they get.
I'm telling you, they get that the Nebraska rivalry going. Then they get West Virginia. They're going to lose at K-State. It's such a great spot for K-State
to the
Red River Shootout.
Yeah.
I got them losing. They're going to lose one of those four. The Nebraska, West Virginia, at K-State, and Red River Shootout.
I agree. I think it'll be the K-State game.
So that would then put them at,
I don't know,
five
I just
and
said
one.
I
know.
I would bet on Oklahoma, but
well, you know what, Patty C? It's easy to see a tide turn.
It's easy to see a tide turn
when you really consider how tough that stretch is.
Yeah,
Nebraska, West Virginia, at K-State, and then Texas,
and then after that TCU, by the way. But I got them 5-1. I got them beating TCU even after the Red River Shootout.
Somewhere in there, they'll get one loss.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to lose one. Then they're at Kansas. We know Leopold could pull the upset there. No, they get Kansas 6-1. Home to Texas Tech, 7-1. At Baylor, Patty C?
W.
Baylor played them close last year.
9-1? No.
Yeah, 9-1, right? And then Iowa State, 10-1, right?
Yep.
At OK State.
They'll get it done.
11-1.
Yeah.
They lose to Iowa State in the Big 12 championship.
That would be a glorious, at least, you know, if you can't go to the playoff, at least you get a conference championship, which I think we said was like 115 years since Iowa State had accomplished that. So
yes. All right, guys, I want to tell you guys, the College Football Experience is brought to you by Coors Light. In your words, you know, come on, Patty C, is there a more refreshing cold activated bottle of suds that you want to throw down when you're at the beach this summer partying? Do you ever, I mean, Pat, I'll just say this, Patty C, do you ever feel like you're always on?
I do.
You do? Well, what do you do when you need a moment to chill? Yeah, like how do you hit the reset button, Patty C, besides playing me in Tecmo Bowl and getting stomped?
Resetting it with 2 seconds left so these scores don't go official.
You do hit the reset button on that.
I drink a Coors Light, and that helps me take the edge off.
There you go. That's right. And because look, right now in 2021, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn it off, hit reset, and that's when you reach for Coors Light. It is made to chill. You got to check it out. Their cold activated bottles are awesome. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you need to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door, Drizzly or Instacart, I should say. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate responsibly. So we're going to get to Oklahoma State on the other side of this thing, guys. All right. We're going to get to Oklahoma State to check out episode two here. As we fire off with the rest of the Big 12 on the College Football Experience, check out episode two coming right next time.